From sunset on October 31st to sunset on November 1st is the traditional celebration of Samhain, which is spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N and looks like Samhain, but is pronounced Samhain. It's a Wiccan holiday, first celebrated by Celtic pagans, and it's one of their eight major holidays, or Sabbats. Joining the exchange to discuss the Celtic traditions of Samhain is Rebecca Spirit. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Let's start with a bit about your background and how you were introduced to the traditions of Samhain.
Okay. So I live in New York, and I go to Teachers College Columbia, and I am a spiritual coach on the Soul app, S-O-L. And I was introduced to the tradition many years ago as I was a teenager and started, like many people, just kind of getting into it, watching popular shows and things like that. I've always kind of known that I was a bit magical and different. I used to tell my family when I was little that I was reincarnated and tell them about things that I should not have known. So I've always been a little magical and out there. But now, with it being much more accepted, it's just an easier thing to put out into the wider world.
Well, how did you learn things that you should not have known?
I'm not really sure. I was actually born on St. Croix in the 70s. I'm 49. And I would tell them about my Studebaker in Canada, which, you know, the 70s, there was no internet. So that was sort of the family joke, that I was reincarnated and that I lived in Canada, apparently. So I was always allowed to sort of foster those ideas and those practices, and I was always the kid that was like in the mud putting together herbs and mixes and things. So yeah, kind of all my life I've been witchy and magical.
Oh, so help me understand what Samhain is and how it's evolved into the current traditions of Halloween in America.
So you were absolutely right. It's spelled differently because it's Celtic, but it is pronounced Samhain, so thank you for that. It's an old Celtic tradition, dates back before the Stone Age, and it's basically a transition between autumn and winter. And like you said, it's part of the celebrations for eight different celebrations in the year. And it's really about the agricultural aspects, right? This is when you pull up the harvest, you do all the things to buckle down for winter and get yourself ready. So during that time, they would light a big fire on the hill of Clada in Ireland, and everybody would come around and they would sacrifice their different meats or vegetables and things and have just a kind of giant party. It's a harvest party. So that's where we kind of get that light thing. Because it's a change in the time of year, it's seen also as the thinning of the veil, so between the worlds, the world of man and the world of spirit. And with that belief, people had fear that there could be negative spirits that came across, and so that's why they would wear the masks or cloaks or things like that to hide themselves, much like we do now with bridal parties, right? They have the bride and then they have bridesmaids because it was seen as a way to protect the main person.
So the wearing of costumes is a form of hiding from would-be spirits?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you would leave out food and treats for your ancestors or friends that you knew that have crossed over to say, you know, welcome and thank you and I miss you. And that would be where we kind of get the trick-or-treat part of it. Yeah.
Okay. So how do Wiccans celebrate Samhain?
We really like a good party with a lot of food. So today I'm in Salem, Massachusetts, and we will be having a celebration in the square where we're going to drum and sing and just bring everybody together. And, you know, there will be certain prayers and mantras that we'll say in order to just, again, thank our ancestors, thank the spirits for all the things that the abundance of our own personal harvest, whatever that may be. So we get together and do that kind of thing. People do light fires and do celebrations. Some people who are more magical will do magical work, put out water jars so that they can have that power of water, that power of place to use later if they want to make do a bath or something like that.
Well, you mentioned their prayers. The prayers are directed to who?
To spirit, just the feeling outside of ourselves. There are people that practice certain religions within the pagan community or witchcraft community, and so they go to ancient gods and goddesses. But for me personally, I do it to spirit, the more cosmic feeling of everything around me.
So what's the deal with carving scary faces into pumpkins? Where'd that come from?
They were actually carved into gourds, and they were also lit up as to keep the spirits from coming into your house. So they would carve gourds because they didn't really have pumpkins like we do now. So they would do squash or things like that and carve them out, and they would make them scary so that the spirits would be afraid of this glowing, scary face in the window.
Okay, so this is sort of a paradigm shift for me. You're telling me that the spirits would be afraid of the carvings that humans created.
Yeah, I know. It sounds kind of crazy that the spirits would be afraid of something we did. But if you think about it, like a dog might be afraid of another bigger dog. That's kind of the theory behind it.
Okay. Well, I want to take just a couple of moments to include other traditions associated with this day, and I'll get right back to you. Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead, as it translates in English, began in central and southern Mexico. And at that time, mourning of the dead was seen as disrespectful. So instead of grieving, it was more important to keep the memory of those who had passed alive. And those who celebrate the holiday believe at midnight on October 31st, the souls of deceased children come down from heaven and reunite with their families on November 1st. And the festivities surrounding Dia de los Muertos are filled with skulls and skeletons. People wear colorful makeup, costumes. They hold parades, parties, sing and dance, and make offerings to lost loved ones, kind of like the Wiccans. And some of them also create altars in honor of loved ones who have passed. And they also leave out food, which is also known as Pan de Muerto, or Bread of the Dead. And in the Roman Catholic tradition, November 1st is also All Saints' Day, according to Xavier University. On November 1st, Catholics honor the saints of the church who they believe have reached heaven. And on October 31st, Catholics observe All Hallows' Eve with a feast for all saints, according to the Vatican. Hallow is a version of holy, which the Vatican says is the origin of the term Halloween. On November 2nd, Catholics honor the souls of all deceased Catholics, which is then known as All Souls Day. So everybody's getting into the ancestors and honoring the ancestors and the saints. With the Wiccan celebration, you're saying that the honoring of the ancestors that have gone before is also part of it as well, right?
Correct, yes. And we do set up ancestor altars and give thanks to them for watching over us and protecting us, because they were the people that were closest to us, right? So they care the most about us on the other side. So we do set up ancestor altars and leave food for them, their favorite drink. There's a whole setup and practice that goes along with that to honor and revere your ancestors. And it is, it's very important. And many of the traditions that are practiced today in the newer Abrahamic versions do have a lot of ties to those older religions and practices of pagans.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of cross connect. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I really appreciate you joining us, Rebecca, and giving us some insight into the Wiccan celebration of Samhain.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great Samhain.
My guest was Rebecca Spirit, a practitioner of the ancient Celtic tradition of Samhain, which gave birth to our current Halloween traditions.